You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
The great RJ Bell joins us from out in Las Vegas. He really does such a good job. Gave us another winning pick. RJ, what a job by you. You loved the Chiefs plus 3.5 last week, and just candy from a baby for you, really. It's too easy for you sometimes.
Hold on, I'm going to get a little extra orange juice here from the buffet. All right. No, I'm good. I'm focused on you guys. Yeah, it was a nice one. It's funny. Sometimes when it looks too obvious, it scares people. What people forget is the Ravens, and this is important for this week and every week, really, till the playoffs. If you look at the last dozen games before last week, the Ravens had outscored the spread, so ATS margin, by 15 points per game. The second best team was less than 5 points per game. So literally, the Ravens had triple the margin over the spread than any other team. So you might think that team is the better team. But obviously, the Ravens struggle against the really good teams.
Yeah, that's the Chiefs are just, I think, clearly the best.
RJ, just so you know, too, right, Dave doesn't want to tell you. I took the Chiefs.
He knows.
Dave went against me and took the Ravens.
He knows.
Well, think about the mental illness that it takes. I'm not going to diagnose from afar, but think about what it takes to say, RJ's on what side? All right, I'm going the opposite.
You know what? I have convictions. I can't just cater to everything you say. I have to have my own opinion.
Listen, you have an opinion. Don't put money on it.
I didn't put money on
it. Oh, thank God.
It was my opinion.
You have a different kind of convictions.
I'm not allowed to wager anything, so it's not an issue. If I followed your strategies, maybe I would be. Hey, I know we're kind of looking back, but be honest. I know you always would be. Did you like the Jets going into that game last night? Because Rick is still standing by his Jets selection in the game last night.
You know what's funny? I was on air, and I said, I can't bet it, but I lean Jets. Because the thing I saw was Darnold was better at home and better against bad teams. In fact, against bad or below 500 or below teams, 6-3 entering the game, 15 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Against winning teams, 1-6, 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, so -3 versus +8. And better at home. It felt like, and listen, who knew the third string quarterback was going to do well? I mean, which he kind of did, so. A lot of penalties for the Jets. I'm not sure about Gase.
Now you're not sure?
Now you're not sure. Wow.
All right, RJ, let me ask you about the other New York team that also stinks. You got the Giants in L.A. to play the Rams. Rams coming off a tough loss to Buffalo. I mean, feel like maybe they got robbed with that penalty call. But I actually like the Rams in this. Am I crazy for laying the 13 points?
Well, here's the thing is – anytime you get up in the double digits, the thing you got to ask yourself, is there any motivation for margin? Now, there's two times that laying the lumber is not problematic, at least two. One is in the playoffs. Now, that seems counterintuitive, right? Wait a minute, I'm playing a better team, the playoff team, and I'm laying a big number? That's usually a bad thing, right? Double digits or big favorites do well in the playoffs. Why? Because motivation is not the issue. The better team's not going to be lax. They're not going to take it for granted. They're going to win, get margin, perhaps. Because teams keep fighting in the playoffs, so they're worried about that. Mm-hmm. The other time is road favorites. But road favorites off a bye. Because what happens is, you might be a little lax, but you're off a bye, so you're focused. I just don't see any. If anything, you could make the case the Rams have had a pretty tough schedule, right? Dallas, not an easy game. Philadelphia on the road. It was supposed to be a war, and then now Buffalo. That's maybe the hardest schedule so far. Now you get a chance to take a breath a little bit. So I would feel very good about the win, obviously, but I don't see any great desire for margin. Doesn't mean they won't get it, but I don't see the motivation.
RJ, let me ask you about the marquee game in week 4 in the NFL. The Patriots visiting the Chiefs. The Chiefs are laying 7 points at home. Now, I think Pat Mahomes is 1-2 against Bill Belichick since he became the starter. So how do you read that game out there in Arrowhead this weekend?
I think the least discussed easiest way to handicap the NFL, with especially with the Pats, is the following question. And maybe you guys can use better words than me on this, because I'm not a, you know, X's and O's guys. But they talk about offenses being multiple. The idea that they can run and they can pass. They can, you know, go in a certain position group, be fine. Another position group, be fine. Then you've got other, or groupings, I guess. You got other offenses that are very, like, oh, they can only do this, but they do this exceptionally well. The Raiders, I think, met that criteria last week against the Pats. Belichick makes you play left-handed. Thus, if you don't have a second option, if he says, I'm taking away Waller, but, you know, otherwise try to beat us, some teams can do that, you know, like the Raiders couldn't. Some teams can and can't. All right. It just feels like to me Kansas City is super multiple. That they can run, they can pass, they can run, you know. And Andy Reid is the one coach schematically you might think is better than Belichick. I think Belichick's much better overall as a leader, as a cohesion of the unit and all that. But just on the blackboard, Andy Reid is comparable, if not better. So I think the times against Belichick helps Andy, or helps Andy Reid and Mahomes, because again, Belichick does so well against young quarterbacks, but as they get some experience against them, I'm not sure Andy Reid's at a disadvantage. I actually like Kansas City here. I think the Pats are a little bit, they've been in good situations, and Belichick knows how to scheme them up in a way that they almost can't lose, especially with Cam running the ball. The only nice game you could say is that Seattle. Not only nice, but the game you could say that was impressive was Seattle. And they really lost the game. Otherwise, it was workmanlike performances against limited teams. And Belichick's always going to do well in those games. I think Kansas City's a different animal. And I think Kansas City was not looking ahead. As much as you could say, oh, they've had that Monday night game, no way are they not taking the Pats seriously. I hate laying it, but I would lean to KC.
RJ Bell with us live from Vegas on 98.7 ESPN. All right, RJ, so you're 2-1 in your picks of the week. Kansas City was a slam dunk for you last week, very easy, and that improved you to 2-1 on the year. Now, you and Canty, the two of you will work together later during this segment, and you're 0-3 as a combination, which is not
good. That, how many wins it? Oh, my gosh. Who was it last week?
It was the Giants plus 3.5, which was close.
Oh, my God.
If you only had the Giants plus 33.5, you would have actually.
You know what's funny?
I apologize, RJ. That's my fault, man. I'm setting you up for failure, RJ.
I didn't want to say that. Thank you. But I'll say this is, how can you be so close to that Giants team and think they were ready to go?
We were wrong.
RJ. I don't know what I was smoking. I don't know.
Fall right on the sword, RJ. We were so wrong. So, all right, with that being said, 2-1, looking to go 3-1. I have pregame.com up right now. What game is your selection of the week?
Now, by the way, I don't want to say I like, you know, any show better than this one, but 3-0 on Mr. Michael Kay's show.
So you're giving all winners on his show and 66% winners on
Yeah. And in the super contest, you know, the $5,000 deal?
Well, we know, because you mention it every week, yeah.
Fourth place.
Out of hundreds, right?
Well, yeah. Well, this is the $5,000 contest, so there's like 80 people in it.
Wow.
But winner take all. So we're taking this pretty seriously. All right. Let me see here. I'm trying to decide. I'll tell you who I gave Mr. You know what I'll do? I'll always tell you guys what I gave Mr. Michael K. Then we can decide if we want the same game or not. You like that?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you have complete conviction in one game,
no, you're
you
right.
Have to give us a second
you're
game.
Right. And when I do. But when it's 24 hours later, there's different information, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I'm thinking about, this is where my head's at here. I'm just really thinking. I kind of like the Texans. And the thinking is, look how difficult their schedule has been, right? Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh. They were in that Pittsburgh game till halftime. If anything, you figured they're going to get fatigued. They did in the second half. Now, you know, weak rest, and obviously a Vikings team that has the disruption of practice. Kirk Cousins is loves routine. You know, we get an amazing stat on Cousins. Canty knows this one, is when Cousins starts at 1 o'clock, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. When he doesn't start at 1 o'clock, he's not. He's a creature of routine. You might say, well, RJ, this game's at 1 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, but tell me, how disruptive is it to miss multiple practices because of COVID? In fact, I'm going to do it. Texans minus 4.
All right.
I like it, RJ.
You do? Oh,
I like it.
Now, here's the thing, RJ, and I hate to bring this to your attention. It is the site we use for our selections.
Yes,
Texas
yes.
are minus 4.5
on
the greatpregame.com.
Okay.
Site.
Now, you know, let me take a gander. Now, I don't know if you know, if you hit the odds button up there, it gives you multiple books, and there's 3.5s and 4s all over the place. Like, literally right now, I'm seeing Pinnacles at 3.5, and, you know, Bubba, 4, 4.5. So what I'm saying is anyone on the planet is going to be able to get a 4. So, you know. It's one of those things. We don't want to hamstring people.
No, of course not. But all right, listen. If that's
no, I hear
you
because
it.
You're right. Is if you're going to be in a contest or something, you got to have one specific line. But let me ask you, and this is actually important. If you have half the places of 4.5, half the places of 4, how do you grade that line? You grade it at 4 because the assumption is everyone's going to have a chance to play. You know, I hear on the stations multiple places to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. 4.
All right, 4.5. All right. Very good.
All right, should we get to my pick with RJ?
Yeah, unless Rick has something else, which is
no,
possible.
No, I can't wait. I'm going to write this down just
okay.
because it's been so successful.
Just wow. go the other way,
bad,
right?
You're such a bad guy, Rico. That's why your Jets stink. They're on fire. All right, so here we go, RJ. Here are the three games that I like. I like the Bears at home, plus 2.5.
Uh-huh.
I like the 49ers at home laying the 7 against the Eagles. And I like the Rams at home laying 13 against the Giants.
Oh, all right. So first question is why the 49ers?
I like the 49ers because I think George Kittle coming back is going to help them not only in the run game but in the passing game. And based on what I saw the last couple of weeks from them, knowing that they had every excuse to lose those games, all the injuries that they had, they won in blowout fashion. I just feel like with the way that the Eagles are playing right now and the lack of confidence from Carson Wentz going from east to west, I just feel like that spells a solid win for the 49ers. I don't have any reservations about that one.
So let me ask you this. It seems to me that one of the basic premises in the NFL, and you've been in the locker room a bunch, so you know, is if a team has major injuries, they tend to rally together and they're able to lift their game for a game. And then it's surprising. It's like, oh my gosh, all those injuries and they still won. And then the next game, they tend to be flat because there's only so much energy you got.
Yes.
You agree with that?
Yes.
All right. So that would probably go against the 49ers here, right?
I don't know about that, RJ, because you had all of the injuries 2 weeks ago in the Jets game.
Well, during the game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I guess my other thought is, wouldn't you agree that when it seems lowest, when it seems like this team's at its low, like you would have thought the Jets maybe last night, but when they're at their lowest, that they would come in and they do a surprise. Like these are professionals. They muster the – wouldn't you think this is the last chance for the Eagles and you're going to get an all-in?
I don't know if they're all in on Carson Wentz, though.
So you think there might be real disruption within the team?
Yeah, I think there's something going on there between Carson Wentz and the head coach, Doug Peterson. I don't know exactly what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But there's too much talent on that Eagles team to play the Bengals to a tie.
2 weeks ago, I saw something where the coach was saying, yeah, I'm not sure what's wrong with him. Like, it was kind of like
he did say that, yeah.
It accepted the premise or something wrong, right? Which is, all right, well, the only side I like of your three, so it's a no-brainer, I kind of lean on the Bears. This is, in 30 years, the third team, the Bears, to be undefeated and be a home dog against a non-undefeated team. So, I mean, they're getting – now, do we really think the Bears are a historically bad 3-0 team? I get they'd be a historically bad 9-0 team, but 3-0 is not crazy, right? And then the idea that you have a non-undefeated team making them a road or a home underdog, I think – I don't love the Bears, though I do think that the quarterback change is only going to help the team morale. Mm-hmm. So Foles is just going to – and he looked good. Like, who are we kidding? So we will go with our Canty's 0-3 and me trying to, like, pick through the garbage.
Wow, come on, RJ.
You know, RJ,
come
why
on,
you're a bad
RJ.
Guy? You know why you're a bad guy? Because you said at the end of last season, Chris is so knowledgeable that if he were to bring three games to the table, there's no way that me, being the Vegas insider that I am – couldn't pick one of the three successful victories.
I'm not happy about this.
And the duo of you guys is 0-3.
So, RJ, let me ask you a question. You don't like the Rams in this matchup against the Giants laying 13?
I mean, dude, you've been in the locker room. When you're favored by 13, I know it's like not the spread's the only thing in your mind, but when you know, hey, we got this game, you tell me, how does a typical player think?
Listen, RJ, I understand the logic that you're having, but I tried to apply that last week to the Jets in that matchup against the Colts where they were laying at 11.5 and they got the doors blown off.
No, I agree with you. When the underdog – but here's the difference to me. Judge is not getting fired this year, right? So everyone on the Giants knows this is the coach for a while. I feel like in those cases, they don't give up on the team as easily.
Okay.
I mean, again, listen, whenever you like or like a home dog or a dog, there's always a chance you're going to lose bad and it's going to look foolish. So, meaning I could look foolish here like, you know, and listen, we like the Giants last week too. I mean, we had it on our super content. You look foolish, right? Why would you play such a bad team? You got to be willing to look foolish. But I will say this to close. Canty's energy on the picks when we had our $5,000 contest, it seemed like he was on it. Here it seems very much like, oh, I got to make three. I don't know.
RJ, Nick Mullins in the 49ers hung 36 on the Giants last week.
I know.
36.
I mean, why are you screaming that? You're the one that had the Giants.
Just saying.
You know what we should do? We should get the $5,000 contest back next week and see. His game changes totally, I'm telling you.
RJ, outstanding stuff. So, by the way, just to let everyone know, you took Houston -4.5, Chicago, Chicago +2.5 at home against the Colts.
This reminds me of the whole Canty thing the first year where the spreads kept getting changed on me, but I'll take it.
I'm using your site. Good stuff.
I'll talk to you. Thanks, guys.
I'll talk to you in the morning, 11 o'clock. Good stuff. That, of course, is RJ Bell out in Vegas. So it gives us Houston -4.5 of his play.
The raccoon. You have to start calling him the raccoon. Picking through Canty's garbage picks.
I mean, honestly, I might call BetMGM right after this and go big on the Colts. The way the two of these guys have... 0-3. Not easy
really,
to go 0-3.
Really, guys? Really, guys?
Not easy to go 0-3. I did it last week, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We were together in that, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, no, I like the Giants to win that game. Not just to cover. I liked them to win that game last week.
I did, too, Dave. I don't know how we could have been so wrong on the Giants.
Clearly, we were. Never.
It could be worse. You could have picked the Jets last night.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
So you have that 0-1 going into the weekend. That's a bad feeling.
Yeah, but I felt good about the picks. I don't feel
Don
awful.
Loved it also, and Don's 8-1 this year.
Yeah, and that was his 3-point play. He did it yesterday. I felt good about that pick. And I got RJ saying it could, you know, could it get any lower? Yeah, it can get lower. What? I mean, look what the Jets are doing right now. It could get lower.
It could. It can.
It's like you're at that party and you're playing the limbo and you're like, no, they can't go. And then like that weird skinny kid all of a sudden like he's double jointed. He like dislocates his hips and like laying
hold
on the floor,
beer,
going
watch
under
this.
The limbo.
I've been waiting for this for years.
Exactly.
Right.
This is what I practice at home.
Oh God, this is the best party ever. All right, so the Titans guys, and this really stinks. We're Friday, so now we're days and days after. Two more Tennessee Titans have tested positive for COVID heading into the weekend. So that's the bad news. The good news is still no Minnesota Vikings have tested positive. So Titans will not play this week, obviously, against the Steelers. They'll put that game to later in the season. We'll wait and see what happens. But two more, Rick, Titans have tested positive.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean,
stinks.
Again, the silver lining is that no one in Minnesota has it, so it didn't transmit to, you know, to the opposing team. But the NFL made the right decision to not have this game on a Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I'd say so, absolutely. He's got to be our favorite of the week. He's so good, and he'll take jabs at anybody, and he's got great analysis, and that is Paul Feinbaum breaking down college football with us. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Oh, it's a beautiful day where I am. I know it's gorgeous there because I keep up with the sports news out of New York, and there's some good news, not much.
Yeah, not much. I mean, the Yankees are good. The football,
yeah, I like that.
Not so much. So let me kind of start there, and it's college-esque question for you, and that is, Trevor Lawrence is considered to be the surefire top overall selection. The Jets are terrible. Everyone is a tank for Trevor, and we're going to go 0-16. Is he definitely coming out? Like, is there any way you could see him pulling a Peyton Manning and saying, you know what, or Dabo telling him, you know, you don't want to go to the Jets and all of a sudden last minute do a change and not come out and potentially become the franchise quarterback of the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's inconceivable that he would do that. And, you know, listen, I covered the Peyton Manning situation umpteen years ago, and it was a little bit different. You know, Peyton's father was a famous, wealthy guy who liked to manage and, as you guys well know, micromanage his son's careers. Hello, Eli. And I think he, you know, Peyton just made a gut decision at the last minute, and you know, it turned out to work well for him. But I can't. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I think, might have come out this year if he could have. I mean, there's just nothing left to prove. He won the title in his first year, came in second his second year. He's a favorite to win it again. I mean, there's no reason whatsoever that he would come back. I would put the odds at extremely small.
All right, Paul, how about this question, though? So, I mean, we saw it last year, right? Joe Burrow came out of nowhere, was supposed to be Tua, and then Joe Burrow ends up going with the first overall pick. With where the NFL is at, style of play, you know, most successful quarterbacks being, you know, kind of dual-threat quarterbacks, is there any chance that when this college football season is all said and done, that Justin Fields has kind of emerged as maybe the best quarterback?
He could. You're absolutely right, because, you know, Trevor is a little more conventional. I think Justin Fields could be the number one pick, and it's the sample last year was pretty spectacular, as you guys know, and you know we still have what 3 weeks from tomorrow before we see him again, but yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. I think the evaluations are fairly close, and again in October the evaluations don't matter a whole lot because even last year Joe Burrow was just starting to race up the charts, but if you're tanking for someone, you have a pretty good choice this year. And by the way, it's not like the Jets have to tank; they just have to show up.
Wow! Paul, before I ask you the question, any shot of my Cavaliers hanging in there with the Tigers this weekend? Any shot?
Yeah, I mean,
lie to me, Paul.
Surprises already in college football, and there's no really good sample of Clemson so far. So I think it could be a fun game for a little while, but I wouldn't. I might make plans in the second half. How are you?
All right, Paul. I wanted to ask you about Florida. I mean, Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts lit up Ole Miss last week. They connected for 4 touchdowns, but Is Florida a legitimate college football playoff contender? Because they got a hell of a gauntlet that they got to run with their schedule.
They do. You mentioned Pitts, who a lot of people have not really heard of. I mean, this guy just is just sensational as a tight end. He does a little bit more than just that. But, I'm highly suspicious of their defense. Mm. But I don't know if anybody can keep up with them, though, right now. I mean, maybe Alabama. Georgia certainly doesn't look like they're capable at the moment. I say that cautiously. But, that was a spectacular performance by Kyle Trask, who it's worth remembering, a year ago was not even the starter at Florida. Felipe Franks was. He got hurt, and he's now at Arkansas. Poor guy.
You're funny. Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I mean, last week, I don't know whether it was Mississippi State and Mike Leach, and it's just, you know, he steps onto campus and they throw for 1,000 yards a game and they can beat anybody, or if LSU is just not clearly not even close to the same team they were last week. So what is it? Is it that LSU is not what they were last year, or is it just Mike Leach and this offense is just that dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, the offense at Mississippi State is very good. K.J. Costello, who was at Stanford, he's a graduate senior, came in. And Leach has done this before. He's very capable of catching you by surprise. The real issue, though, is LSU. 14 starters gone. I mean, you already mentioned Burrow. Allaire is killing it right now for the Chiefs. Countless other players. The best wide receiver in the country, Ja'Marr Chase, opted out about 3 weeks ago. And the best defensive player on the team, Derek Stingley, didn't play. It wasn't COVID. It was some other bizarre illness the night before the game. So, I mean, they were ripe. I don't think a lot of people picked up on it because you tend to just believe the hype. I mean, they're top 5, top 6 team. But, and they also have a new defensive coordinator who just was clueless. I mean, this guy just couldn't quite figure out that playing man coverage on Mike Leach is probably not going to work. And he just got smoked. So, I think it was a little bit of an outlier. I don't think either axiom is true that Mississippi State is that great or LSU is that bad. But it was just a terrible matchup. And, Leach is, he's had good quarterbacks before, Minshew and others. But the guy he has now might, you know, really is fantastic, and it gives them a chance in every game. Whether their defense can hold up or not is a question I would have to ask.
Paul Feinbaum joins us here in the show. Paul, as far as the ACC is concerned, I mean, you know, Chris brought up Clemson, but how good is this Miami team?
They might be pretty good. This De'Aaron King, their quarterback, was at Houston last year. Remember, about 3 or 4 weeks into the season, he just opted out. He said, I'm taking the rest of the year off. I'm coming back. Nobody believed he was coming back. Of course, he didn't. He went to Miami. And I mean, Miami has fooled us before. I know there are a lot of U fans out there that 2 years ago bought all in when they beat Notre Dame and the turnover chain was trending all over the country, and then they promptly just collapsed. The good news about what I just got through saying is we don't have to wait long. A week from tomorrow, they will be at Clemson. So we'll get that answered very, very quickly. My guess is they're good. My second guess is they're not going to be able to hang with Clemson.
Any shot that A&M is going to be able to hang with Alabama?
I would put that under the no shot whatsoever. And, you know, what's really interesting is that, you know, A&M, a school that, you know, likes to think they are in the same category as everyone else with the elite, Alabama, the Ohio States, and Clemson. You know, they dropped $75 million on Jimbo Fisher. He got out of a dumpster fire at Florida State, some of it his doing. And so far, everyone's waiting for the results. And if they get smoked tomorrow, the question marks are going to really start coming in on him. Last year was, you know, he played he had five losses, four were against the top five teams in the country. So he got a pass, but how long can you get a pass in Texas with that kind of money if you don't produce? Not long.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Another battle of the SEC, Auburn and Georgia. Georgia not great last week, did get the victory. Both teams checking in at 1-0. You could argue this is the game of the week in college football. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, this is the best game, and by the way, with two leagues not playing, that's not really saying very much because college football is off to a really rough start. Thank goodness the SEC came back. I like Georgia in this game, and it's hard to really quantify the explanation because they were dreadful. I mean, they were playing Arkansas last week, which hasn't won a SEC conference game in two whole seasons, and it was 7-5 at halftime, but. They're going to look different tomorrow. JT Daniels, who started briefly at Southern Cal, is really their quarterback, but he didn't play because he was being held out for medical reasons. He's now been cleared. Remember Jamie Newman, who was supposed to be the starter, yep, opted out 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So they had a freshman started. He didn't last, and a walk-on ended up winning the game for them. So I have a hard time believing he will last long tomorrow. But the Georgia at home is always a serious threat, and their defense is arguably the best in college football.
Paul, last one for me. Can you give us an update? Like, what's the current status of Notre Dame right now?
They're still having some issues. I think it's another week. My guess is they're going to be back. But what's interesting about Notre Dame is they had done better than any school in the country. Until it all fell apart, and there's still a lot of questions. Notre Dame is not exactly giving out much information, but I suspect they'll be back next week.
All right, Paul. Listen, we really appreciate it. Have a great week. Enjoy the college football. Hopefully the other conferences are going to start up without any fail, and we'll talk to you then.
Haven't been in New York in a couple weeks. Can you guys get me any Jets tickets?
Yeah, you can sit in every seat during the course of the game.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Well, good stuff. That, of course, is Paul Feinbaum helping us break it down here on 98.7 ESPN. At least there's some decent games this week. Like we've had awful games so far to start the season, but at least you get a couple that are watchable this week.
For what, college football?
Yeah.
No, but last week we had some. I mean, you may want.
Well, the Texas game was good, but it shouldn't have been good.
No, I know. I mean, there were some good. I mean, there were some exciting games though.
But at least like Auburn, Georgia, you can't miss that game. Like if you're into college football, that's a must-watch game.
Yeah, I would also say though. I mean, anytime Mississippi State plays, it's going to be a must-watch.
How good is
Mike
Leach?
That's going to be fun.
He's ridiculous. An offensive genius is what he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a strange guy, but he gets very the job. Yeah,
sometimes it can be a little bit tone deaf, but he's a good football, like great. He's a good coach, X's and O's wise.
Look, Texas Tech, they, you know, 1,000-yard, you know, every game that he goes to Washington State, does it there, Mississippi State. Like, he's an offensive guru is what he is. Brilliant.
Costello threw for 600.
Maybe he'll be the Jets' next head coach.
If I told you right now that Mike Leach was the next head coach of the Jets, you'd feel better than you do today about the current head coach of the Jets.
I want a legitimate head coach.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
I want someone that's equipped to be a head coach.
But don't you want Bieniemy
in
right?
the NFL?
You want?
I would like Bieniemy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be nice. I mean, I would like someone that can actually lead men. Like, I need a leader of men. That's the CEO of the New York Football Jets. I don't know why I call them
the football Jets.
The New York Jets,
as opposed to the hockey.
Well, because sometimes you can't even tell what sport they're playing when you watch them. You gotta let yourself know. No, that's a football team you're watching.
Yeah,
believe it or not,
it certainly was. All right, quick break. Let's come back and get into some. Like Kyrie Irving, I don't know what he does. Sometimes he should just be quiet, not say some of the stuff he does. So we'll get into what Kyrie Irving had to say and our picks, of which Rick is 0-1 to start week 4. All that coming up next, 98.7 ESPN. Now, today on ESPN Daily, the WNBA Finals tips off tonight on ESPN2. Get a preview of the Storm and Aces matchup, plus Dallas Wings rookie star Satu Sabali on a historic first season on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Rick, you're a huge fan of Sabali, aren't you?
No, I'm a Seattle guy. I'm going for Seattle.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I mean, Sue Bird. Right on the corner.
Long Island girl.
Exactly right.
I believe she started her career at Syosset, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And then transferred to a private
school. Yeah, she's like,
school.
As far as like bagel master, you know, wall of celebrities, it's Sue Bird and then everyone else.
She is. She's still dynamic.
Well, she's awesome.
I think she's almost 40.
You got her, and then you got Stewie, who's, I mean, she's legit.
How tall is she?
Breonna Stewart?
Yeah.
Like well
6'7", right?
She's tall, yeah.
Yeah, very, very tall.
Dynamic, though.
Oh, terrific. All right, we're not there yet, but are you ready with your picks when we get there?
Dave, I've been ready with my picks for days.
For days?
Days.
Okay.
I asked the long guys yesterday.
You know, people hear this and they're like, oh, that's funny. Chris, do you have any doubt that he asked the long guys who they liked in football this weekend?
No, he asked the long guys, but I'm surprised that he would want their advice seeing as how they butchered his lawn
they
over the course
again,
of the
too.
Last 3 or 4 months.
No, they did it again too, by the way.
They did? They messed up another sprinkler head?
Oh, no. Another sprinkler head, but they also decided that they were going to use the riding lawnmower on sopping wet grass.
Yeah. Can I ask you maybe a silly question?
There are donut marks in your lawn
yes.
now.
Why don't you move on from this landscaping crew and find a new crew?
Because this is...
Dave, he's a Jets fan. Yeah, exactly. Do you need to ask that question?
What are we doing?
I strive for bad. Is what
I strive for mediocrity. Yeah.
This is the option. This is who everyone in the neighborhood uses.
See, but that you're not forced into using him.
But everyone I call, no one's happy with the people that do their lawn. Nobody.
That's a fair point.
And I, for some reason, have a soft spot for this guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like him. I hate what he does to my lawn, if you even want to call
him
lawn.
He must be some heck of a guy. If you're willing to allow him to butcher your lawn week after week.
You know the only good part about my lawn is where he told us, like down by the mailbox, there was a couple, I don't know what happened, but he's like, we gotta take this up. You should seed it. I said, I'm not seeding it. I'm gonna put some sod. Nah, sod won't work. Of course I go sod. It's plush. It's beautiful. It looks like Augusta. And somehow, some way, half of it is dead now. I said to him, did you drop something on it? No, but I'll seed it. Well, if you didn't do anything, now you want to seed it? Of course you dropped something on it. You probably dumped gasoline on it.
That's right. That's right. All right, here we go. Kyrie Irving. It's amazing that we're talking about Kyrie Irving and the stuff that he has to say with all going on in the NFL and college football and everything on a football Friday and the Yankees involved in the postseason. But we have to because he continues to say stuff that makes you shake your head. Kyrie Irving. Where is this from, Santi? Is this from
Kevin Durant's podcast?
Kevin Durant's podcast. Yeah. All right, here we go. Will you or KD get the last shot in big moments?
Depends on who's hot. I don't see it as anything other than that. Like 1-3 pick and roll, or it's an ISO for either one of us, or it's something great for our team. One thing I've always been comfortable with is, you know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that motherfucker can make that shot too.
All right. Music is great, by the way. But I mean, you play with LeBron James. LeBron James is the best player in the world. You taking shots at LeBron James as he's about to win his fourth NBA title, Chris?
I don't understand that, Dave.
Yeah.
Like it's clear that that's a shot at LeBron James.
Oh, clearly.
And it feels like it's unnecessary. I thought that LeBron and Kyrie had turned the corner, because remember when Kyrie was in Boston and everybody was saying, okay, now he's the leader on the team. Let's see if he can do it. And he said, you know, this is harder than it looks like. We thought that Kyrie had a revelation and had more reverence for LeBron. But no. LeBron is about to compete and win his fourth title, and Kyrie still feels like he needs to take a shot at it. Like, I get that he's trying to endear himself to Kevin Durant, his new teammate, but at the expense of taking a shot at, if not the greatest, the second greatest player of all time, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, that one was good. My favorite one was about the head coach.
Oh, we have that
one.
Oh,
we're all going to be head coaches? We're all head coaches.
You want to hear the one on Kenny Atkinson and Steve
Nash?
Yes.
I take that back. That may be my favorite.
Yeah, well, all right, let's play your favorite. Here you go, Santi, if you will.
First of all, I want to give a shout-out to Kenny Atkinson because, you know, some people came out and was like, yo, Kai and KD got Kenny fired. And look, that was completely false. Listen, Kenny was great for the group that he served, and I was very appreciative of what he was giving us throughout the season when we were playing. We always heard how great Nash was or saw how great Nash was as a player, but also when you get to know him as a person, you understand why he can coexist with us, because we don't need somebody to come in and put their coaching philosophy on everything that we're doing and change up the wheel and, yo, you guys need to start doing this, and we start running on the first day of practice. It's just like, no. I need somebody that's going to understand that I am a human being first. I serve my community and where I come from first. And then basketball is something I come and do every single day because I love. And also I have the right ingredients and people around me to come in and do my job at a high level. And I know that they will hold me accountable to that level. There's no disrespect to Kenny or any other coaches I play with. It's just Steve coming in at this moment and then following up with putting together a great coaching core was going to make us more successful.
I don't even know, Rick, why he says some of the stuff he says. Like, don't you think that even before he says it, he might want to think, what do I gain by coming out and saying this stuff?
Well, I don't even think he realizes what he's saying, because earlier in that clip, before like where Ray cut that, he said, we were going to make a change. He kept saying, we were going to make a change. And then he goes on to say, we didn't get Kenny fired. Well, who's the we that we're going to make a change? You are part of the we, or you don't say we. You didn't say that Sean Marks was going to make a change. It was we were going to make a change.
Yeah, you know who. Come on. If he and Kevin Durant came out and said, we absolutely want to keep Kenny Atkinson, you don't think he'd be the head coach right now?
If you're Kenny Atkinson, would you have wanted to keep the way what you just heard from Kyrie and his thoughts on what a head coach should be? You think Kenny Atkinson wanted to stay? Gonna have to deal with that every day?
That must be a treacherous job.
The part that's got to be concerning, though, is that he seems like he's resistant to any kind of structure that's put around him, right? It didn't work out in Boston with Brad Stevens. Why? Because of structure. It didn't work out with Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn because Kenny Atkinson wants structure. So Kyrie wants to get rid of that guy and bring in somebody that can be quote-unquote collaborative with him and KD. When everybody understands that coaching is making men do what they don't want to do so they can become what they want to become. And for Kyrie, it means being a champion again. You got to have somebody to push you. He had that in Cleveland with LeBron James. I don't know that he's going to have that in Brooklyn with KD. So the expectations is that the Nets are going to compete for a championship next year. But just based on what we heard from Kyrie, man, I don't know, man. They'll have the talent, but it's got to be more than that. I don't know.
It sounds like a recipe.
If I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, I'm worried about what I heard.
I think you have to be. They haven't even gotten onto the court yet as a duo, as their full team, and you're already like shaking your head about what they are. And what they said.
And they've already managed. I mean, it's both of them. It's Kyrie saying it, but it's Kevin Durant. I mean, he's complicit.
It has to be
his part. They've already neutered Steve Nash as their head coach. Neutered.
And what was this about Kyrie talking about all the stuff he does in the community and him being a human being first? What does that have to do with anything?
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't understand that. Like, why are you throwing that into the mix? Like, was Kenny Atkinson bad for that? Did he not support players going out in the community and contributing? Come on, man. Stop it.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Stop it. I don't understand. Kenny was great for the group he served.
Someone should get in his ear and be like, you know what? Can you stop talking? Like, there's no discussion about this. No one's concerned about this. It's not time to talk about the Nets. And you're saying stuff, and now you're making this discussion. It's just, I don't know. It's a bad look for this team.
Well, speaking of stop talking, I mean, let's go. We got to make our picks.
We got 3 minutes.
Barely 3 minutes.
Oh, all right. Before we get there, I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. All right, we go to our NFL pick, Santi, if you will. And there's the NFL music. All right, Rick, you have one that's already done. You're 0-1, but you are winning on the season.
Heading into I'll go last.
You're 4-4-1 heading into the season. Chris, you and I are just a dreadful 3-6 after we both went winless last week. Chris, you want to go first or second?
Sure, I'll go right now, Dave. I'll go first. With my first pick, I'm going to take the team that has the best chance, according to our own FPI, of having the number one overall pick, and that would be the New York Football Giants. No, I'm not taking the Giants plus 13. I'm taking the Rams and laying the 13. Why, Dave? Because I told you last week I was going to pick the Giants to win, and if they didn't win last week, I wasn't going to pick them for the rest of the year. I lied. I'm going to pick them. I'm just going to pick against them. So I'm going with the Rams, laying the 13 points.
All right.
For my second pick, do I need to go with all my picks? Okay.
Yeah.
Bears plus 2.5. That's the collaboration with me and RJ Bell. And then the 49ers at home laying the 7 against the Eagles.
All right. So Bears 2.5 at home against Indianapolis. And then San Francisco minus the 7 against Philadelphia. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they are far and away the best team in football. New England is going up against a team that they – listen, Seattle's good. They're not in the same category as Kansas City in my mind. Kansas City's going to put up 35 points. Again, even on this defense, it doesn't matter. They can score on anybody. So I'll take the Chiefs and lay the 7 at home. I think, Chris, you will not like this pick. And I'm not saying they won't win, Seattle. But I'm going to take Miami in the points. Miami's got extra time to prepare for this. They played really well last Thursday night. They competed against Buffalo. They competed against New England. I don't think they'll win, but I think they'll cover the 6. So I'll take Miami plus the points. You know, Detroit, we could say what we want about them. Should be 2-1 right now, right? They play New Orleans, who is kind of reeling. Michael Thomas is still questionable for this game. I was just reading something that said he certainly might not play in this game. Drew Brees looks done to me. If you can slow down Kamara, you can absolutely beat New Orleans. Now I'm getting 4 points. I'll take Detroit plus the 4. So I'm going Kansas City minus 7, Miami plus 6, and Detroit plus 4. All right, Rick, you have the Jets minus 1. You start out 0-1. How about it?
All right, here we go. I'm going with the big boys. I'm going to take the Ravens and lay the 13 points. And I'm also taking the LA Rams because I hate you and I hate your Giants.
I don't know why.
So
you hate
I hope they get destroyed.
Well, that's just not very nice. It sounds like that's a pick solely out of being bitter with the Jets from last night.
No, it's based solely on what that offense is doing right now,
right,
and what Aaron Donald is going to do to your turnover.
Giants
will
lose.
Nick Gates is looking forward to it though.
Should be great. I really hope the Giants lose by less than
13. The Rams aren't a team that stops scoring. It's not that they're running it up. They just can't help themselves.
Yeah, they're terrific. They should be 3-0 right now.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.